Welcome to the Wedding People podcast.
My name is Rebecca Brennan-Brown.
And my name is Rihanna Elizabeth.
I don't think I'm sitting in front of the microphone properly, but never mind.
Okay, I need to cough. Okay. It's a great start, isn't it?
Good start. Hashtag professional. How much do you know about this big... I don't really know the details. You know the thing that Rihanna performed at?
Oh, the Ambani wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What on earth? I need to know things.
This is ages ago now. You're late news.
I know, but I was reading about it yesterday. And I've read about it and I still don't understand.
The Ambanis, I think, have the... Ambanis. Ambanis. Mm. Have the record, I believe, for one of the most expensive weddings. And they are doing another one because the son is now getting married.
Because this Rihanna thing was a, like...
Apparently a five million. Oh, it was the pre-party in India.
Yeah, like
in
the wedding.
India.
It wasn't the wedding.
They're having a European gig, I think, over here. Big, huge affair. Week long. I've heard all sorts of gossip through the rumour mills of this big...
Can you tell
I can't talk on the podcast about it. No.
I want to know.
No.
Where is it?
Europe, okay. I believe.
Fine. We'll move on to something Rihanna can talk about.
It's the pre-wedding took place 3 months... It took 3 months to plan, and it was planned by... It was saying it's planned by the mother, but I definitely think they have...
Yeah, there's no chance. There's got to be a planner involved in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is...
No, before we go on, we have to talk about the fact...
Well, you just told me you couldn't talk about any...
No. But I can talk about the previous one.
Oh.
The previous wedding was apparently £100 million.
Jesus.
Oof.
That's insane.
They're very, 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 very rich.
But they've got a nice pension.
They've got a lovely pension.
Have you seen recently that Stephen Fry and Sandy Toksvig have been campaigning for humanist weddings to be legal? They've, like, what would you say? I'm not sure that campaigning is the right word, but they've, like, basically, they've extended a call to the Labour Party.
Yeah.
So that if the Labour Party get into government, that they have requested that the Labour Party make humanist weddings legal because there are so many LGBTQ plus people who prefer humanist ceremonies which aren't legal, and then you end up having to have a second legal ceremony. And this article has sort of described it as pointless. I'm reading this in Pink News for anybody that cares.
I think that I have a bit of a weird relation. This is going to go against everything to do with wedding planning. Wedding planning, we do symbolic, celebrant, all different types of ceremonies, right?
Yeah.
The whole point is coming together to celebrate love, right?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. The registrars are people who you have no relationship with, who turn up on the day. Not all registrars. I have registrars. They were lovely. I got legally married on my wedding day. You don't have to. But it's a very old council-led
old
registrar scenario here.
Yeah.
You're literally given someone... who is in the area, who...
Yeah, you don't know who it's going to be.
No. And they can be very difficult sometimes.
Yeah, they can be really
Not always. Lovely. A lot of people are very, very lovely.
Yeah.
But they can be quite difficult
So sometimes. This changed, it would allow celebrant-led ceremonies, basically, to be legal. And just to clarify, we're talking about England and Wales here. I think Ireland and Scotland are already there. Mm-hmm. Like, Ireland and Scotland already have...
We just got some catching up to
Northern
do.
Northern Ireland.
We just have general catching up to do.
Yeah.
It's a bit...
That is mental that you could go to Scotland and have a humanist legal ceremony and not in England.
I just think it's... Just let people be legally married in any way they want to be legally married. Just,
I can't see that happening because...
They earn too much money.
It's too... Yeah.
Too much investment. It's what it comes down to. Ultimately, let's be positive, though.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'll happen.
Yeah. Today we are talking about, if you are an introvert, what would your wedding look like?
Don't get married.
Honestly, I read so much. I did quite a bit of research on this, and I read quite a lot of, like, sometimes when I'm researching for the podcast I go to Reddit because there's quite a lot of, like, good threads and stuff.
Yeah.
And most of the advice was like elope.
Yeah.
Or
this is not helpful. This would be a very short podcast if we just went, elope, goodbye.
But there are some people that, like, I think there's different levels of, like, extrovert, introvert, right?
In social
that,
like, anxieties as well.
And, like, I would personally describe myself as an introvert who is very good at being an extrovert. Like, I can put it on when I need to, but I absolutely recharge when I'm by myself, not around other people.
Yeah.
So there's parts of a wedding for me that feel like an absolute nightmare, like, don't love the ceremony, don't love a first dance, don't love a cake cutting, don't love any of those moments that feel like there's pressure and attention on you. But I would love to have a wedding. Like, I want to have a big party with all my friends. So there's levels to all of it. I don't think it's as cut and dry as, like, I'm just elope.
I don't like awkwardness. And I think a lot of people will feel the same as well. They don't want that awkwardness of everybody looking at them. Do you remember on my wedding day, you were running my wedding day for me alongside Hannah, and you came up to me just before I walked down the aisle and I was shaking.
Oh my God, I could not believe how much you were freaking out. Could not believe it.
So I think that it doesn't matter who you are, sometimes... most of the time, you feel nervous.
Everybody on this podcast knows you as this big character who's always joking and like, you bring the energy to this. Let's be honest. And you, on your wedding day, were like somebody, the only way I can describe it is like somebody who's scared of roller coasters or flying or something like that. Yeah. Like, that was like, and you were fine as soon as you like turned. But I was like,
You went to me.
Like, really?
You literally turned to me, and I was like, and you went, really? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Don't.
Because she was so like, oh my God, I'm gonna throw up. Oh my God,
I'm gonna throw up. Gonna pass out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, it was so surprising.
There are definite ways as an introvert that you can get through your day without making it too. You have to get through the key moments, but there's ways that you can adapt those key moments to make it easier for you. And I think there's a couple of big major ones, the big hitters that you put at the start. Do you think that having a pre, for someone who doesn't like photographs, I definitely think having a shoot with your photographer beforehand will help you relax, because not just to get used to being in front of the camera, for that obvious reason, but also to build a relationship with the person who's behind the camera. I think it's so important to do that.
Big time. Lewis does it a lot. Lewis Membry. Yes. Lewis is going to be coming on the podcast pretty soon.
Yeah.
So if you want us to ask Lewis anything, tell
us. A lot of photographers offer it. Poppy Rose Carter does.
But everybody that I've had that's had done Lewis's pre-shoot is like completely at ease then on the
wedding day. It really helps. It really, really
helps.
And
like, I know that, right, from having my brand photos done. Then the first time I was shitting myself. Yeah. And every time after that, I'm like, whatever, it's just Lewis.
Yeah, I think... not everyone is comfortable with being in front of a camera for a variety of reasons. And I think it just all comes down to feeling at ease.
Yeah.
So if you are someone who's dreading it, then book a pre-shoot before engagement pre-shoot.
And I think that that's kind of like a similar logic to apply to the whole thing, right? Like, for a lot of people, and introverted people or anxious people, their partner is their rock, is their their stability.
Yeah.
And I certainly feel like that in certain scenarios with Fraser sometimes. And so we have couples who, like, you just have to adapt things to then work with you. So actually, if you're then feeling a bit nervous about walking down the aisle, but either by yourself or with a parent or with whoever, and actually having your partner there would make you feel better about that scenario, walk in together.
Absolutely.
We've had so many people this year walking together.
I've got a couple who don't like the idea of giving each other the whole idea of giving away. Yeah. So what they're doing is they're walking towards each other during the ceremony. So there's ways you could do it. If you want to have the ceremony moment, there are ways that you can build it exactly like you said. Walk down together, make it really short, have someone you know. You can have a celebrant as well as a registrar. So you could have something like that. So you're walking down to someone with a familiar face, which I had because my cousin was standing there. But if you really hate the idea of a ceremony, you can scrap the ceremony entirely.
Yeah.
You don't have to have it. Obviously, you would then, if you want to get legally married, go and have that legal ceremony. But it takes away from the big thing in front of everybody.
Yeah, we're doing that for a wedding this year where we're actually having the ceremony for less than 10 people on Friday night.
Yeah.
And then we're not doing a ceremony at all on Saturday for the wedding. Everybody's like joining for the drinks reception.
Yeah.
And that, just for people who don't like the idea of being watched or being the centre of attention or whatever, like, we've done a couple of ceremonies now where there's just been 20 people and they're so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, and they get rid of all the pretense with it as well. Like, there is no legal requirement for that ceremony to be anything other than you saying there's a few key things that are legal.
Yeah.
But you don't have to walk in. You don't have to process out.
Procession, yeah. Recession.
Yep.
Yeah.
That. In. Out.
Recession.
In and out. Don't have to do that.
In and out.
Don't worry. And the like that you don't have to do loads of stuff. You don't even have to do, I don't even think you have to do rings.
Rings are symbolic as well.
Yeah.
So essentially, there are key parts of a legal ceremony that have to be said by a registrar. The other elements are a choice. So you go through your kind of process online to pick what you want to pick. So ring can be a knot, tie the knot ceremony, sand ceremony. You can do anything symbolic that you want to do is an exchange.
Yeah.
The rings is a symbolic exchange.
We had somebody last year who like walked to their ceremony with the whole family, like the group, the whole 20 of them walked in at the same time.
It can be quite mechanical.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be all this grand affair. But
No.
We wouldn't have jobs if people didn't want the grand affair. But there are definite people. I've got a groom who is not wanting any of the key points, and he just wants to get it over and done with. Yeah. I know that he is going to be the whole time for that ceremony thinking about speaking. He's going to be thinking about his speech. He's going to be thinking about the cake cutting and the first dance. So in those scenarios, with people who are worried about things that haven't even happened yet, like we said, we've just explained the ceremony. When it comes to the first dance, you don't even have to do one.
Just don't do it.
If you do want to have a moment, you do it, but then get the DJ to immediately announce everyone onto the dance floor. That's so common. Oliver was the same. He was like, get everyone on immediately. Yeah. Get a photo and get them on.
We have people doing the first song now instead, where it's like, or even like opening the second set with their
favourite
song.
They're just dancing to
it. So everybody's there already. Yep. Or like the first set, get everybody onto the dance floor to do the first song all together.
Yeah. And cake cutting, again, you don't have to do it. All of these things are just photo points and elements that a lot of people like to do because of tradition and because of seeing it again and because of looking at photos and thinking that that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you can make your wedding in the way that you want it. You can have a cake. You don't have to cut it, though.
Yeah.
It can be upright and centre, but you don't have to go over and
also, you can cut cake and just not call everybody over.
Absolutely.
I would argue for that most times. Still
go and get a photo. Go and get a picture of yourself.
Cake cutting is annoying most of the time.
Yes, scrap it.
Like, is that like, we most of the time get everybody to cut their cake with the photographer, but not like call everybody around. Because again, it's just like another spot, isn't it? Where it's just like, and I think like, you know yourself. So it's, I think, really finding out what works for you is the best here. Like, I think for me, I would love to plan in some time out. Like, say you had accommodation on site. This sounds like a dream for me, right? Probably sounds really boring, but if I was getting married somewhere with accommodation on site, love a 20 minutes, just go have a lay down.
Have a little nap.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe even if it wasn't a nap, just like a little
moment.
20 minutes, just sit with Fraser. Fraser's probably the only person on the planet that is my, like, the same as me being by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't take any more energy from me than I would if I was just by myself. So just lovely 20 minutes.
You can have a room, just have though. A lot of the places
I'd be so re-energized from that.
A lot of people at venues will have a room, a bridal room, prep room, and a lot of the time it's a fast-paced day and people do want to pull you from left, right and center, but your photos, your couple's photos, tend to be the time when you're on your own the most. Mm-hmm. Just the two of you with your photographer. But you can scrap as many photos as you want. You can have as little or as many as you want, and you can go back to the bridal room and just have a little minute and moment. As long as something's going on out there for your guests, you don't necessarily have to be out there the whole time.
Also,
a lot of people leave early. I had a bride leave a wedding at 9:30 because she was tired. She's off now. I'm seeing the brunch in the morning.
Yeah, I had somebody last year who was had ADHD and autism, and she, by like 11:30 she was like, I've got to go, I can't do this anymore. And you would rather and like, as my client, I would rather somebody do that than like force themselves to stay there. Like, she had a great time, but she knew herself that was her limit.
At the end of the day, you're in a room with people you know, right?
Exactly.
They're gonna know if you're not a big socializer, 100%. They're gonna know that you're not gonna want to be there, or it's intense. So I think just create your day in a way that makes it comfortable for you. And talk to your photographer, tell them if you've got a videographer as well, that you don't do well in social spaces and it can be over, and they will adapt their style to you. That's very important. Have a call with them before you book as well, to understand that they understand you
completely. And like, choosing the right suppliers is such a good point in that, like, there are photographers who will shout at everybody to get in a line and to do the best poses and to some people love that and some people need that when they've got a big rally group of people. But if you're the kind of person that's going to be completely overwhelmed by someone shouting at you, get somebody who understands you.
Absolutely. And the same with your DJ and things like that, and even master of ceremonies. You can have your best friend, maybe they're a bit more of a better speaker, and when it comes to a speech, you don't have to do a speech. You could even get your best man or someone to read out some words for you on your behalf. There are no rules. The beauty of this is that realistically, if you're getting legally married, you have to speak those legal words.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be amplified in front of everybody.
I also think as well, like if you are nervous about making a speech or something like that, but you still want to do it, bring it forward.
Yeah, like, do it whenever you want to do it. Do it in the drinks reception.
Yeah, so that you hello. Have people. That's it.
Do it at the start of the dinner.
It's quite nice to kind of like have people, you can use it as a point to like say a few words, whatever you want to say, but also welcome people to your wedding or welcome people to the dinner or invite people through to dinner or whatever, so that you can just kind of like relax a bit more.
There's something else that a couple did for a different reason, but I actually think it would work really beautifully if you weren't a great talker. One of my couples did personalised notes as their place setting with their name on it. And each was a little thank you for being there at the wedding. And I think that's really nice. They had like a personal moment, which was like about friendship for them. If you've got the time and you want to do that, it gives you the opportunity of thanking that person personally for being there without having to invest so much of your energy in talking to everybody. Obviously you're gonna have to talk to people, but you don't have to go into that. It can be light, it can be, you know, all of those things.
I think that's really important to consider though, because one of the things that I'd put on my list of notes for this podcast is like, you don't want to just completely remove yourself.
Yeah,
so there are ways exactly like that to then bring that back in, and whether that's then like also making sure that you have like photos of yourselves around the space, like so that it feels more personal and more more like cozy and your own rather than some sort of like big intimidating event. And again, like venue choice can really help with this. If you're in a big overwhelming hotel ballroom, that's going to feel a lot more big and serious than it is if you're hiring a townhouse, for example, that can feel more like you're inviting people to your home.
Yeah, and I think just be somewhere where you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to get married in a big castle and you're going to feel really overwhelmed because this isn't a natural setting for you, put yourself in a natural setting. Make it comfortable for yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of blogs say keep your bridal party small, but maybe you might need a bigger bridal party to kind of keep you going throughout the day. Like, there are no rules.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people feel pressure on like choosing a bridal party and like who that is and how much that upsets other people and stuff like that.
Another thing, a lot of people say keep it small. Yeah, you can keep it small if that's better for you and just have those key family members there, but some people might find that unhelpful because then when it's smaller you might feel more pressure that there's less people to talk to other people.
Yeah.
So I would also make sure that when you're think about your table plan, don't sit on a top table. You don't have to sit on a top table 100%. And be centre of attention. Be in the middle. Have long tables. Be in the centre. Like, you don't have to have a sweetheart table, just the two of you. Put yourself amongst the people that you want to be amongst.
Yeah. Or the opposite, as you've just said there. Like, if that is overwhelming, be by yourself on the sweetheart table.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you want to do that instead,
do
whatever makes you happy.
You're not a show pony in this scenario. So it is very much like managing your own stimulation. And like, I know a lot of people find those loop headphones really helpful. Yeah. Have you seen those?
No.
They're like bud ear. I don't actually know what they are, to be honest with you. But they're like, you know, like earbud, the gummy ones.
Yes, yeah.
They're like that, but I think they've got a hole in the middle.
Okay.
So it sort of like reduces the amount of sound that can get into your ears. And I know a lot of people find that really helpful, like when there's bands on and stuff like that,
that is
just brings everything kind of down a little bit. So I think like managing that in yourself and that like a drink. Little drink.
Yeah, a little drink. I think
that's helpful.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because Oliver's got ADHD and he wouldn't mind me saying that on the podcast either. And he's social anxiety. He was really worried about all of these moments. And he loves a Guinness. So for him, he was like, I need to have Guinness there. Like, he'll make, like, so then he can have a couple of pints, because he didn't want to get too drunk. And obviously some people like lager, and but he's like, oh, lager doesn't mix well with me. So
yeah,
we had, like, we just talked about things that made him feel comfortable, that he would want there, that put him at ease.
Yeah.
And like the first dance, bless him, he told all of his groomsmen immediately, soon as we've got some pictures, if I look over at you, come straight on the dance floor. And they were like on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's just adapting it to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And like choosing the things that you do and don't want to do, like maybe you do suck it up for 5 minutes to do the first dance.
Yeah.
And that means that then you don't have a ceremony or whatever. Yeah. It is like, and if you don't have a ceremony, there are like you just, people join straight away for the drinks. Like there aren't that many people that care about ceremonies.
Yeah, exactly. I think one good thing that could help people who have got the ability and investment to do that is to have someone on the day coordinating, so that they know where to go, what to do, where to be. And some people might feel a bit anxious at not understanding the flow of the day.
Yeah.
So I do think if you've got someone there who you can have a friendly face to look at,
yeah,
that can be really, really helpful as well.
I would like my emotional support dog to come to my wedding.
This is literally in a blog as well, to bring your dog there.
God, no chance. Stevie would be a nightmare.
I mean, obviously, if you have an emotional support dog, they'll be there regardless.
That was a joke, just for the record. Stevie's not an emotional support dog. Stevie's an emotional distressment dog for me.
Bless her heart. But yeah, a lot of people say you can have your dog there. It might put them at ease.
Mm. Well, those are some nice tips, aren't they?
They are very nice tips.
Is there anything else that you would like to add? I'm going to close up with something completely irrelevant to this podcast.
One other thing, one really key thing. If you don't have a wedding planner, have someone as your designated person. Sorry. Have someone as your designated... Getting very
Rihanna bad. Just hit herself
just
in the
hit
ear.
Myself in the head. Have someone as your designated person who, if you've got any questions, oh, can you go to so-and-so? Oh, can you go to so-and-so? So you don't have to constantly ask and respond to questions all day.
Yeah.
Have a key person in your bridal party. If you don't have a bridal party or a groom's party, have someone in the family or a role who's going to help you on your wedding day answer questions to guests.
Yeah, and a key person that can get you out of a situation as well, right? Yeah. That like...
Yeah, get me out of this. I mean, yeah, a bit of
exactly.
I'm having a conversation with someone who I don't want to have a conversation with. Get me out.
Yeah.
You just have someone there.
Yeah, for sure. Completely relevant thing to close this episode with. How do you feel about... I went to the Unwedding show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they had somebody there who I will find while you talk about this.
Yep.
Who did little tattoos. What are you doing? Why are you chucking your juice all down here? For God's sake.
Actual tattoos. Did you get a tattoo?
No, but I really wanted to, though.
If I'd been there, me and you would have had absolutely... we would have got...
I was like, something. What can I get? I was like on the train there and I was so hungover.
Oh, God, no.
Like, I could not...
Not on a hangover, though.
It was not good at all.
Do you have a
Alice
tattoo?
Alice X Green. Yeah. She was just doing, like, these tiny little ones. Like, little disco balls and stuff.
Cute!
Like, Harry Styles type tattoos.
Oh, Harry Styles.
Yeah, mate, I was so hungover. What have I done? Oh, I went out the day before for lunch with my friend. And I was like, I'm going to have 2 glasses. I had 3 bottles.
And you didn't.
And I nearly died.
Uh-huh.
And, then I went to the Unwedding show and I was on the train and I was like, what could I get? I could get, like, a little disco ball or something like that. But then I decided I was too hungover to make that decision. Anyway, what do you think about little tattoos at weddings? I love that.
I'd
so do that.
I mean, I'd totally do that.
If everybody like left my wedding with like a little cactus on their foot.
That could
foot.
Get very messy, couldn't it, if you've had too much to drink?
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of fun.
Name on the... Oh, I love it. Bring it on.
Yeah, I think that would be so fun.
Absolutely.
Like, I think it would be absolutely mental, but in the best way.
It'll be like, what's that tattoo program where they...
Oh, yeah, the one with Charlotte Crosby.
Oh, my God.
I can't watch that. It makes me really deeply uncomfortable.
I can't. Well, I get sweaty palms because I'm like, I can't. I cannot.
Awful. Absolutely
horrendous.
Awful. Speaking of awful, are you up to date on Married at First Sight?
I watched the wedding with the new couple.
Which one?
The second one. The medium.
Oh, okay. Crazy, so you're not up to date then?
Is it? Does it get juicier?
Mate,
Have I got stuff to come?
Yeah. You need to catch up on it. Who is it to do with? There's so much. It's not even like one or two.
Is there any actual dramas?
Yeah. Big time. I've also seen a spoiler because they are released ahead of us in Australia.
A spoiler for who?
I can't tell you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You're being too vague. Spoiler.
I can't tell you. It's huge. It would ruin a lot. But I keep getting spoilers on TikTok.
Who's your favourite?
I don't think I love any of them.
I feel very sad for Tristan.
Which one's Tristan?
Tristan's the guy who just won't even touch.
Oh yeah.
Or kiss.
No.
Or hug.
My sympathy for him is low. Who do I like? Lucinda. I like Lucinda.
I love Lucinda.
Don't like
everyone,
Tim.
Everyone, no.
Love
everyone
Lucinda.
Needs a Lucinda in their life. Do you know who I really am liking more now? Lauren.
Yeah, oh my God, I love Lauren.
I love her.
Do you know why?
Just unashamedly, she's just herself. And I'm like,
yeah, you're she's great. Brilliant. She's so great.
First time I saw her, I was like, oh no. And then now, love.
Oh, just bash the microphone. Wait, we have to say bye. Yeah.
Huh?
Goodbye. We have to finish the podcast. You can't just take your headphones off and decide that we're done.
Okay, thank you for talking to me about how to...
Whatever. Goodbye.
Bye.